from the inside. Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Meet me at the front, and I want you to find five people really quick and say, this year you're gonna level up. Find five people. This year you are gonna level up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, we're doing a song. It's an old one, but we haven't done it in a while, so I just want to see you move a little bit. You're gonna be all right. I'm going to another level. I'm going to another level. Come on, sing that out with me.
I'm going to another level.
For your blessing, we're going to another level. I'm going to another level.
Come on, let me see you clap like this. Sing, I'm going.
I'm going to another level.
Come on, if you want to go to another level, just wave your hand like this.
I'm going to another level.
Oh, I'm going up, oh,
I'm going to another level.
See, don't stop preaching,
don't stop preaching, keep believing, we're going to another level.
And don't stop pressing,
don't stop pressing,
for your blessing.
Keep believing,
going to another level.
And don't stop pressing,
don't stop pressing,
for your blessing,
for your blessing.
We're going to another level.
And I'm going to another level. Let me hear a shout of praise if you're going up this year.
Yeah. don't stop preaching. Keep believing. Going to another level. And don't stop pressing for your blessing.
Going to another level.
One more time. Don't stop preaching.
Determined to go to another level this year. Hallelujah. And that's going to be easy with an unstoppable God, right? That's going to be easy with an unstoppable God, right? Let me see you clap like this. Here we go.
Heaven thundered and the world was born. Shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God.
Come on, sing it out again.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus our God unstoppable. Unstoppable God,
let your glory go on and on.
And impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Oh, they shall be done.
Unstoppable God,
let your glory go on and on.
It goes on and on.
Impossible things in your name,
they shall be done.
The Spirit of the Lord said something very, very significant to me during first service, and I want to share it with you because it's vital. He said to me, whatever way you approach me is how I'm going to respond to you. Okay? I'm going to say that again. In whatever way you approach me is how I'm going to respond to you. If you approach him and say, God, you've been pretty good today. If you approach him and you say, you know what, oh geez, I just hope I make it through. You know what he's gonna say? Oh, I hope you do too. I hope you do too. If you say, wake up and say, oh, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed and I'm aching here. Yes, you are. Whatever you say is what you're going to have. Okay, but if you approach God as if he's awesome, as if he truly is unstoppable, as if he's worth praising, guess what he's gonna do? He's gonna say, I'm gonna show up and be awesome. I'm gonna show up and be your healer. I'm gonna show up and provide for you. You must call on God in the way that you want him to manifest himself. That's called faith, amen? So I want you to put your hands together and I want you to praise him like you want him to show up and sing.
Nothing shall be impossible.
Come on.
Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Oh, nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. And we'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Shall be done.
Impossible things.
Unstoppable God. Let your glory go on and on. And impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Come on, give your unstoppable God some praise this morning. You serve an unstoppable God, that means you're unstoppable because he lives in you, amen? You are on the winning side this morning. I just want to let you know that. Go ahead and lift your hands and just talk to your unstoppable God. Go ahead and pour out your praise to him. What does that mean? That means just telling him how good he is, telling him how awesome he is, thanking him for what he's done in your life so far. Thank you, Jesus.
And great are
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we.
Just continue to tell God how great he is and how great he's been in your life. Come on, lift up some more praise to him. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Can I pray with you? Father, I just thank you for this young lady. The Lord says, I've taken you all over the world to bring a specific message to my people, that my love, through even a young person, can be grasped, understood, and received. Even what I placed in your heart with that book, even what I placed in my heart for the next two, even what I've spoken to you in private, the Lord says the enemy understands who you are, but I am protecting you specifically because the plan that I have for you cannot be deterred. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you honor. Lord, I just thank you that this morning, I'm just going to continue to pray for y'all. Father, I just thank you. Faithful, 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 faithful. You wonder at times, all the faithfulness, you know God is faithful, but you're waiting for it to come to you. And God says 2019, you're going to shake your head at the end, and you're going to say, I don't even get how he did it so much. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Next level, daughter. It's all about what your heart is towards me. And there's been shifts in your life in these last years. Yes, I've used you. Yes, I've anointed you. Yes, I've even placed you in a position of leadership. But where I'm taking you next is something you've never seen before. So it's going to take you those steps that are going to step out into nothing. I know. I know. I won't say it out loud. But you and I know that one thing. And God says, get ready. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I command. Here he goes. Hallelujah. Young man. You always wondered if the burden of your heart was ever going to come to fruition and how he would pull it off. Even when you sent Kiera down this week, you had to bring back flashes of memory of where you were and how far you were actually away from God even when you went. But the Lord would say, you have no clue. There is absolutely no comparison even on this planet what I'm going to do through you. In fact, what's very interesting is that there is going to be an anointing on your life in the children's ministry that it is going to not only grow, but I'm going to give you fresh ideas that are actually going to be passed along the nation. That even larger churches are going to say, that is a great idea. Actually, they're going to steal your ideas, but they weren't yours in the first place, so don't worry about it. So God, I just thank you for this freshness in the spirit. Now, Lord, I just thank you for that fresh anointing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Who am I? You know, you are not just beautiful on the outside. But you know what Father says about you? He says, that's my girl. You know, listen now. You have a relationship with Jesus that many people don't understand. It's yours. And I know everybody has their own relationship, but David, remember, had a heart after God. And that's what God recognized with him. And I want you to hear this. This is what God's speaking to my heart, to yours. Baby, you have my heart. Father, Lord, even through life, the different disappointments that she's experienced, I release healing in her heart in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that as she is your daughter, as David was known as a mighty man of valor, Lord, he had many followers even. I declare that you're going to raise her up in the spirit as a daughter after the heart of God who be used for your honor and glory. And I thank you, Jesus, she will be that magnet in the spirit. Lord, I just thank you for not only healing her heart, not only blessing her, but those disappointments she doesn't even speak out loud will turn and will be a blessing. You'll turn the bad to good. All things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that her heart is going to bubble. Lord, I speak a fresh joy of the Lord in her heart in Jesus' name. As she will bubble, oh God, in the spirit. She's going to chuckle a lot. People are going to look at you weird, but that's all right. You're weird. You're a daughter after God's own heart, and the joy of God's going to... I release the joy. in Jesus' name, and the fire of God to burn in your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, I just thank you for this body, this congregation. Lord, your people. Lord, they're not my folk. Lord, this is not my church. God, these are your people. This is your family. Lord, I just pray over them that each one of us, God, will come to a new level this year. Lord, our heart is truly after you, or we wouldn't be taking the time to be in the building. We love you. So, Lord, this morning, we thank you that you are shifting our lives. Y'all know that there's a supernatural shift in the spirit that happens. It really is really interesting because in the spirit world, there are shifts that occur that literally change directives, not only for individuals, but also for congregations. So here we go. In the name of Jesus, I call forth a shift in the spirit with a greater passion than we've ever had before in this house. God, I pray that the desire, God, will increase to such a capacity that, Lord, the level of expectation where people will come down the driveway and get miracles, that, God, when people will invite their friends and they're going to come and, God, they're going to give their hearts to Jesus and they're not going to look back. They're going to run together, fill rows and rows and rows. Lord, not to build a church, but to build your family. God, we give you all the honor and we call forth the shift in the spirit in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In my spirit, I see like a windshield wiper. You ever go down an old dirt road and all of a sudden you look up and your windshield's all dusty and nasty? And you turn on the windshield wiper and all of a sudden, I can see clearly now. And in the spirit, I declare that that is going to happen. I command right now for the revelation of God to come to people that are in this room. Lord, they've loved you. They're genuine. But Lord, they've never had that revelation of your goodness and your love for them. And I release that now in the name of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you welcome five or six folks on your way back to your chair and say, I'm going to get a revelation from God. Come on now. Don't be a snob. Make sure you welcome five or six folks you don't know. Don't go, just stay in your seat. Go get out of your chair. Go meet somebody now.
family, it is time to settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
When it comes to your personal life, the heavens are always open.
He said, know this, I am going to be sitting there before the Father and say, Father, yes, all that may be true, but look, my blood has covered it all.
Groups are launching the week of January 13th. We want all of you to be part of a group that goes and grows together. You can either sign up at the Information Hub on Sunday morning or visit our website, histabernacle.com/groups.
How are you doing, family? We're so excited about Next Steps and your ability to grow in your walk with Christ. Coming up this week and the weeks to follow, every single Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, we have Step 1 and 2 right here at the Horseheads campus. And if you work overnight or you have a swing schedule, guess what? Wednesday mornings, we have Pastor Dan right here again at Horseheads for Step 1. But Thursday nights, we're at every location at 6 p.m. for Step 1, Rock Solid Faith, your foundation to grow in Jesus Christ. We'd love to see you there because we want to see you successful. Our success is to make you successful.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How's everybody doing at this 11 a.m. service? Everybody awake? You guys still cold? Y'all had 2 more hours to sleep than everybody else. Let's try that one more time. Good morning, His Tabernacle. There we go. That sounds like a church that's full of the Holy Ghost. That sounds like a church that's full of the power of God. That sounds like a saved church, and I'm excited to be part of a saved church. Amen. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. We're so excited you are here to worship with us today. If this is your first time here as our first time guest, can I just see you just lift up your hand? Amen. All right. Can you guys please clap for our first time guest? That's amazing. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Please keep your hands lifted up. We have a gift coming to you right now. More importantly, on this side of the building after our service, we want to invite you to our guest reception. There's going to be some free coffee, free food. You'll be able to meet some of the people on staff and get to know us a little bit more. But we want to get to know you more. Say thank you for coming to worship with us. And we are excited that in the next few weeks, His Tabernacle will become part of your family. So let's give it up one more time for our first time guests. Everyone, this is the second Sunday of the month, and we are already so busy. We are so excited for what God has in store, and we are really, really excited for the relaunch of groups again. Who's excited for groups? If you are a group host, can I just have you just jump up to your feet really quickly if you're a group host? Awesome. Look at all of these amazing group hosts. They have committed to ensuring that the body of Christ is connected. We do want to make sure that we're continuing to live life with you. So if you are not part of a group, one of the people that has stood up, please go find them afterwards and say, hey, can I have more information about your group? In fact, we have some groups that are starting right after church. If you have a Sunday group, let me just see your hand if you have a Sunday group. We have one, we have two here. Awesome. So if you have nothing else doing this afternoon and you want to get part of a group, ensure that you go and get plugged in. You can meet one of our group hosts. You can go out to our foyer by the hub and sign up, or you can go and sign up right online. So we want to ensure that you are not living life alone, that we are living life with you. Now, we also have some age-based groups. We have the Awakened Young Adults group. You're not part of that age, Pastor. No. This is for people 18 to 30, not 65. So you only look 55. That's okay. Well, we are excited for the young adults, amen? They are meeting actually tonight at 6 p.m. This is for ages 18 to 30-ish. So we are very excited for them. They always have phenomenal food. They have over 100 young adults once a month coming in here and doing one thing, to lift up the name of Jesus and to let the devil know that he has not won over this generation. So if you're within that age group, we want to make sure you come out to the young adult group tonight right here at His Tabernacle Campus in the main sanctuary at 6 p.m. We also have some activity groups where these are just, you just get together, you have a common interest. And one of our most amazing activity groups is the Motorcycle Ministry. That one you can share for, Pastor. So the Motorcycle Ministry, they do things all year round, not just when it's warm enough to be out on their bike, even though that they ride almost all year round. Two rode this morning, pray for them. My goodness, it is too cold, way too cold. But more importantly than just the bike, they want to ensure that they are connecting with the body of Christ and with our community. So on Super Bowl Sunday, February 3rd, they are having a chili cook-off. You want to make sure that you are here for that. I believe that it is $5. Tickets are being sold in the foyer. The chili is amazing. And they also have an annual motorcycle blessing. I believe it's going to be on May 25th. If you want to volunteer for that, this isn't just a His Tabernacle event. This is a community and a regional event. So there is going to be lots of hands that will be needed to make this event successful and to take it to the next level. Amen. So if you want to get involved with that, to sign up, there are sign-ups out in the foyer as well. So let's get plugged in this week. We have groups, we have young adults, we have motorcycle ministry, and that's only three out of over 30 groups that you can get plugged in with this week. Amen? So who's excited to be plugged into the house of the Lord this week? Not just Sunday, but we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We are excited to live life with you. Amen?
Amen. And I believe Awaken Young Adults tonight is a luau. Anybody? Is it a luau tonight? All right. So come ready for some sunshine and music and I think pineapple or fruit or something. So they're going to have a great time. We just want to say how much we appreciate being able to be your pastors. You all are such a phenomenal congregation. My husband and I were just talking this past week, the hunger and thirst that this congregation has come into 2019 with is just phenomenal. Fasting and prayer this week had attendance that was record-breaking. Listen, you all are going to next levels. When you respond to God that way, He responds to you. So we're going to the next level this year in 2019. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I want to go to the Word of God, because this isn't something that I've made up. It's the Word of God. Actually, this passage I'm going to share with you today is red letter, and that means actual Jesus spoken words. And I encourage you in this time to take notes. Write these things down. Don't shut off your brain during this time. We need to learn how to be successful in our finances. It is such an important part of our life, and God gives us all the tools that we need to be successful. So hear this in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation. And it says, then there was a young man that approached Jesus and bowed before him, saying, wonderful teacher, is there a good work I have to do to obtain eternal life? And Jesus answered, why would you call me wonderful? God alone is wonderful. And why would you ask what good work you need to do? Keep the commandments and you'll enter the life of God. Honor your father and mother. Love all of those around you as you have loved yourself. And the young man responded, but I've always done every one of those things without fail. What else do I lack? And Jesus said to him, if you really want to be perfect, which means mature, go immediately and sell everything you own. Give all of your money to the poor, and your treasure will be transferred into heaven. Then come back and follow me for the rest of your life. But when the young man heard these words, he walked away, and he was sad. God, don't be that rich young ruler. Because he had such great wealth, he was unwilling to give. The one thing God was asking was for him to give, but he was unwilling to do that. Don't be the one that's unwilling to give, that wants to do every area, but not allow God in their finances. We want to allow God into our finances. Listen, I have never seen an example of somebody that came to destruction because of their giving. I've never seen an example of someone coming to their destruction because of their giving. Actually, the contrary. I see blessing and prosperity and favor being brought out. But when we choose, like this rich young ruler, not to give, that's when he walked away without getting what he wanted from the Lord. And in this house, we love to give. We're a house full of givers, and it's our heart to give to our King in obedience and response to his word. And in turn, he will bless you and heap blessings upon your life according to Deuteronomy 28. So if you're ready to give this morning, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration again from the word of God. This is Jesus and his promises to our lives. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, if I obey. Now listen, we just read in Matthew where the rich young ruler was unwilling to obey. Oh, goodness. Where the rich young ruler was unwilling to obey and he walked away without receiving. But in this house, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us.
I'm going to another level. I'm going to another level.
The sad part is second service didn't see what the first service saw last week when I was in my Alpist outfit. You know that's what it's called, an Alpist outfit? It was scary looking. So if you want to see that, have to go online. Good morning, everybody. Are you ready for an amazing message that's going to stir your spirit? Okay, then I can leave. I said, are you ready to hear a message that's going to stir your spirit? Amen. See, your level of reception deals with your level of expectation. If you have no expectation, you'll have no reception. This is where we need to make sure that our spirit is right when we come to the house of God. This is the year of... Oh, come on now. One more time. This is the year of... Not the level you're in, but your next level. What God has for you beyond where you are. I'm excited about it. It's going to be a phenomenal year. How many of you were blessed last week? I lost probably 3 pounds from last Sunday morning. Man, I had sweat. Literally, that jacket, I would hold my hand out and I would drip out my sleeves. It was a heavy, heavy outfit. So this week I decided to be a summer alpist. Amen. It's exciting to recognize that Jesus has great plans for you. Many of you have either just gotten saved or have been saved for a while, and some of you recognize God's desire for your life, and some of you kind of just skating through life. And today, this year, God wants to make sure that you go to the next level. He's got great things for you, not just good things. Turn to someone and say, don't let the good overtake the great. There's no question that every one of us have levels of passion in our life. Passion is what drives you. It's why you get up in the morning. But you see, what's happened is, to many believers, our passions have gotten a little warped. And God wants to bring us back to center. He wants us to be coming back to understanding who and what our passion should be. You see, you can have passion over money. You can have passion over a female or a male. You can have passion over relationships. You can have passion over this and passion over that. But the only thing that's going to last is your passion that has eternal value. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, don't look at the things which can be seen, for they're temporary, but look at the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. Everything you and I see, touch, feel right now on this planet, we all know is going to disappear and dissipate. How many of you still have the very first car you've ever owned? There probably are some people in here. Well, it's probably because it's your first car, right? That doesn't count. Now, the only one I really know, that's Josiah Skinkle. Josiah Skinkle still has, where is he? Is he out there somewhere? Someone go ask Josiah. He's not here. I need to know how many. He doesn't have any? He got rid of his cars? Wow. I'm not going to preach anymore then. Everything's over. When Josiah came here, he had every car he had ever owned in a field. I said to him, why is your cars in a field? He says, you just never know when you're going to need another one. My first car was a 1970 Dodge Dart with a slant six Belvedere engine in it that the only way you could peel out was pick up the rear end, wind it up, and drop me. In fact, my senior year, that's what we did. You know how everybody does donuts in the senior parking lot? I got out there and I said, okay, guys, pick me up. They pick me off the ground. What? Drop me. Eek! That was all I got. But I want you to know that car, I don't own it anymore. In fact, it is in a field, and it's all rotten and nasty, 1970 Dodge Dart. But it's amazing as we put so much passion, so much life into something that's so temporary. And God wants to realign us this morning. God wants to make sure that we understand that if we're not focusing on the right things, then we're going to end up on the wrong ridge. Now, we all know the goal and desire is to reach the summit. Sadly enough, I know many. I'm not just talking people in the congregation. I know pastors. I know leaders. I know people from all over the planet. Literally, I know people from all over the planet. And many of them are literally, they thought at one point in time they were heading towards the summit. But something has happened and now they're on the wrong ridge. I want to bring this to us this year. If this is the year of our next level, let's make sure we're on the right ridge to reach the right summit. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Our verse, that's His Tabernacle Family Church, is found in John 17:3. And the Bible says, this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. You see, eternal life is not getting to heaven. When you talk to most believers, that's what they think eternal life is. I can't wait to get to heaven. Well, baby, you're not there yet. Amen. You see, you're not there yet because God's got a purpose for you while you're here. But the truth is that if getting to heaven was fully and completely the design and desire of God, then we would completely miss the design of God, which is found in John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. You see, true eternal life is a relationship with God. True eternal life is that intimacy with the Lord, knowing him, not just knowing about him, not hearing about him, not wondering about him, not going to church about him, but literally intimately knowing God and having a real vibrant relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That truly is eternal life. And God, it's so easy. God knows, because we're humans, it's so easy to get on the wrong ridge and end up never hitting the summit. The Bible says that many will say, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And this is what Jesus said, right? He said, he will turn to some of them and say, I do not know you. See, this whole thing about truly understanding our next level is completely encapsulated with the truth of truly knowing God. Not knowing about, but truly knowing God. I'm talking like knowing his voice. I'm talking like knowing his nudge. I'm talking like knowing his whisper. I'm talking like knowing the very nature of God. I remember one time, somebody came up to me and said, well, God put this sickness on me, and you know, I guess I just got to deal with it. And I looked at them and said, how dare you? They said, what? I said, how dare you talk about my Father that way? How dare you say that he tries to torment people? And how can you call him a good God if he's tormenting and wounding people, especially his own children? I said, I don't even know a natural parent that wants a disease to come on their kid to teach him something. And they looked at me and said, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I said, yeah, the real sorry part is you don't know God. You see, many have a religious understanding of who God is, but they don't know him. And this is really the greatest level that you and I can get. And when we look at it, this is the very passion of Paul. This is the verse for the year, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. And it says this, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things of which I've already reached perfection or maturity. But I press on. Show me yourself. Press on. I can't hear you. Say, I press on. Tell somebody else, press on. Now, how many of you recognize that that means you can't stay still? Pressing on means movement. It means you're not going to stay where you are. No matter how comfortable you are, no matter how complacent you are at this moment, there's a need and a necessity for 2019 to make a declaration in your spirit that I refuse to remain in the same spiritual location that I am right now. I am going to the next level in relationship. I'm going to the next level in ministry. I'm going to the next level in impact. I'm going to let God use my life like he's never used it before. I refuse to remain the same way I am right now. Turn to someone and say, amen. Amen. Bible says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on. Shout it out loud. I press on. Shout next level. Next level. Shout next level. Next level. See, you got to press on to meet your next level. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize of which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. You see, God had something within Paul, and it was this. I'm moving forward. I want to remind you that Paul was constantly moving forward in his relationship with the Lord. I want to remind you that, as this verse says, that he had a heavenly prize. And it wasn't just that he was going to get to heaven, and I'll prove it to you. Do you remember when Paul said, listen, for me to die is gain. But to be a blessing to you, I'll stay here. You see, Paul recognized that heaven was an awesome place. Paul recognized that heaven is where God is. Paul recognized that that was ultimately where he would end up. For it's appointed on a man once to die and then the judgment. But Paul said, I'd rather stay here to help you. Why? Because he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He had a relationship with God that was so dynamic. He had a relationship with Jesus that was so vibrant. He had a relationship with Jesus that was so real that he wanted to share that and say this, follow me. Me as I follow Christ. You see, when we have a relationship with Jesus, it is a magnet to those who are wondering and wandering. It is a magnet to those who don't understand. They think it's all about religion, but they're watching Christ get in your life and change you from the inside out. They're watching how you pray. Listen now, I don't do as many funerals as I used to, but I used to do a lot of funerals. Not funerals from this church. Usually it was from folks, friends of yours, or people that others would point me to, and I would go in and I would do a funeral, and then I'd do the graveside. And the funeral directors locally have all said this: you, sir, are the best. You do the best funeral we have ever heard. In fact, if you would like, we can make you full time. We'll pay you. You can do 3 or 4 funerals a day. You'll make more than you could ever do in the ministry. And I said, well, that's okay. I like what I'm doing. God's called me to bring people to life, not to put them to death. Amen. And he said, and this is what they've said to me. They said, you know what's so strange about you? It's because when you talk about heaven, when you talk about Jesus, it's real. You see, when you know Christ, there is a difference between somebody who's religious and someone who knows Christ. When you know Christ, you don't talk to him as a past tense character that's in a book called the Bible, but you talk to them about your friend. You see, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, that you may know what the Father is about to do. You see, there's a relationship that God wants to bring to your next level, a relationship that has every portion that is saturating your next level. For your next level without saturation of Christ is nothing more than something temporary that will soon pass away. Every one of us can sit back and see how God has moved in our life. But Paul was making a decision on this heavenly prize. See, religious people would say, well, it's building a bigger church. Nope, I'm sorry. You can build a big church and never have Jesus attend. Or the devil. You can have great success in the natural, in religious mindsets, to where, oh yeah, you're a real godly person. You don't cuss, you don't swear. But listen, you cannot cuss and not swear and still not know God. You can have all the smellings, man. I know folks that, I got to behave myself. Did you hear my wife? I said, I got to behave myself. She said, please. I know folks that are so religious, man, they wear the right clothes, their hair's at the right line, everything looks good, smells good, scratch and sniff the whole beast, but they don't know God at all. I know preachers who stand behind the pulpit every single week that stand up and declare the goodness of God, but yet, truthfully, they don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was overseas one time, and I was over in Denmark, and as I stood up to preach, I looked over at the pastor, and the Spirit of God said, get out of here. Something's wrong. I bugged out early. And then I find out 2 years later, he's having sex with his secretary and stealing from the church. See, because it doesn't matter whether you're a preacher, it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. What matters is you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, this is truly what the prize that Paul was talking about. This heavenly prize is knowing Christ. This heavenly prize is walking with him and talking with him. This heavenly prize is not religion, because religion will never take you to heaven. God declared it in the book of Isaiah. He says, I hate your religion. I hate your new moon feast. I hate that you do this and do that. Come on now, let us reason together. Come on, let us come and let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. God is passionate about you and I knowing him. That's why Jesus came. That's what this whole thing is about. It's not about building a big building. It's not about building a big church. It's about you and I building big people who know Jesus, walk with God, and truly make impact on the region that they're in. You see, God has placed you where you're at, not on accident, but he has strategically placed you with a relationship with Jesus, that you will be a magnet in the spirit, that people will say, listen now, I know you go to church, but what is this about? And you can look at them and say, he's washed my sins away. Come on now. He made me a brand new man. He made me a brand new woman. He changed me from the inside out. I used to be this. Come on now. You know who I used to be. But now, not because of religion, but because I know God, this is who I am right now. See, Paul knew this whole process. That's why he made this declaration in Philippians 3. I want to read it to you because it is life transforming. You see, this is where you and I come to an understanding of really what Paul was saying when we get down to the verse that we're using for the year. It's called context. What exactly and why exactly was Paul saying that he was going to reach that heavenly prize? What was that all about? Well, he says it right here in the book of Philippians. He says this. I'm going to read it in a different version. I'm going to go back to the New King James Version because that's what I've memorized. Philippians chapter 3, 8 through 10. To truly know him. Do you want to know what Paul's design was? To know Jesus. You ever met somebody before? You could even know their name. But do you know them? How many of them, you've known somebody, but then they shocked you? And you looked and said, I didn't know they were that. Am I the only one? How many of you shocked yourself sometimes? See, the truth is you can know somebody's name, you can have an acquaintance with them and still not have a relationship with them. But Paul was making a declaration here. He said, listen now, I want you to know my heart throb. I want you to know my heart's desire. I want you to know what this heavenly prize is that I'm talking about later on in verse 12 and 14. I want you to hear what the drive and the passion and the association that I'm desperately after. He said, that I may know him. You see, Paul wanted Jesus. A lot of us want a lot of things. It might not always be Jesus. Listen, now I'm talking to me too. I think the greatest and the easiest place to backslide is Bible school. You're around God all the time. Another easy place to backslide and to walk away from the Lord is where? In the ministry. You're around God all the time. People say, oh, it's tough out here in the world. People are cussing and swearing. Listen now, I want to tell you, one of the most dangerous places is not where they're cussing and swearing because you should be different from them. Well, that got quiet. You should be different from them. But the challenge is when you're living moral, but you still don't know him. You have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You see, God is calling us to what Paul's passion was, that I may know him. Come on now. Meant letting go of everything from my past and throwing all of my boasting on a garbage heap. It's like a pile of manure to me so that I might be enriched in the reality of knowing Jesus Christ and embracing him as Lord in all of his greatness. My passion is to be consumed with him. Come on now. Every one of us are consumed with something. I've watched people get consumed with money. I've watched people walk away from God for a dollar raise if they'd work on a Sunday morning. If you work Sunday morning, I'll pay you an extra buck. I want you to know those two extra bucks after taxes are about $1.10. And you traded your relationship, the intimacy with God, the corporate anointing for $1.10. All right, let's be a little bit. Let's $1.65. I've watched people trade God for a man or a woman. They want somebody between their sheets so desperately, they're willing to give up Jesus Christ to have somebody with. I've watched people surrender God for sleep. Man, I want to tell you, there are so many bed gods out there. We called one person. We said, you know, we're just concerned. Where are you? They said, well, I have a hard time getting up on Sunday morning. I said, it's 11 o'clock. And they said, it's my only day to sleep in. Excuse me. That's right. You won't sleep in for $1.25 extra. Come on now. This morning I was listening to Keith Green, and listen now, I live in Timbuktu 4. And from my house to Breezeport, there's no cell phone except for one little spot. And this morning I was listening to an old Keith Green. Who here has ever heard of Keith Green? I'm going to see how old you are. The old Keith Green, 19 early 80s folk singer for Christianity. And he was singing a song, and this is what he said. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, but you can't even get out of bed. And I had to stop in that spot and post that on Facebook. Why? Because what should it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a person give in exchange for their soul? Paul is saying here, I count all things rubbish. I count all things dung. Everybody knows what dung is, right? Turn to somebody and say, that means poopy. Now, my wife said to me last message, she said, you weren't classy in the first service. So I want you to know I'm going to try to be as classy as possible. Everybody understands dung, correct? No, I never promised. Oh, I never promised. I don't care who you are. How much money you make, how old you are, or how young you are, you know where I'm sitting on the throne. You've been to the palace before. The truth is that we go to the bathroom to get rid of waste. We eat food, we get our nourishment from food, and after our food, the nourishment is extracted out. It then goes through our digestive system and then comes to the place of what we call elimination. We call it waste. We call it waste because it has no value to it. Now, what's amazing to me is how many people hang on to their waste. Listen, I know it's a little gross, but let's be honest with you. If I walked over to the toilet and I had eliminated, and then I walked over to it, lifted the lid and said, oh, corn. See how grossed out you are? But what's amazing is we go back to the things of the world and we're not grossed out. We grab a hold of our waste. Listen, if your kid walked out of the bedroom, Mommy, look what I've got. You're going to look at the child and say, that is disgusting. You're going to discipline the child some way and pray they didn't smear it over the bathroom wall. Can I hear an amen or oh my? The reason we discipline is because that's something not to be touched. That's called waste. It's toxic. We don't eat waste. Listen, now you better say amen because people are going to think you're messed up. We don't eat waste. But a lot of believers live in waste. Paul's making a declaration here. I count all things waste. I count all things dung just for one thing. And that is I want to know Jesus. I don't want to know about him. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want to know his whisper. I want to know his nudge. I want to know his voice. I want to know his word. For Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Christ is the word. It's time to recognize that Jesus Christ has desired a true passionate relationship with you. But he can't have that if you're playing in waste. See, a part of the next level in your life is learning how to get rid of the waste of your life. Listen now, I want to be honest with you. It doesn't always mean the waste is bad. There are good things that are going to keep you from God's great things. Paul was a man of great stature. He was a powerful man. But he said, I'm willing to give up everything that this world would call great. I'm willing to give up everything that this world would call status. I'm willing to give it all up for one thing. I want to know Jesus. He is the most important person in my life. Do I know him? Listen, now, I don't care who you are. I'm talking to me too. I don't care who you are. It's so easy to get on the wrong ridge. It's so easy to start climbing properly and get on the wrong ridge that will never lead you to the summit.
we've got to ask ourselves a real question, and that is this: am I living in waste, or am I willing to count all things dung just to know him? And that decision, there's nobody can make it for you. That's just you. Isn't that weird? It's really that easy, but really that hard. Because we love the things of the world so deeply and desperately. Because they give us a temporary satisfaction. This is where, as believers, we've got to make a decision. That this is not about going to church. This is not about religion. This isn't even about getting to heaven. This is about knowing him. What is holding me back? What waste am I hanging on to that this world has delivered in my life that I have associated with? What is it, God, that is in my life that is holding me back from that intimacy with you, that is holding me back from my next level? You see, some of you will choose never to trade. Oh, I was just being honest. There are some that will sit here today and you will never trade. You know you're in sin. You know you're living in sin. You know you're actively not being accepted by God. But you've convinced yourself you are. There's a way that seems right to man that leads to death. You know that if Christ returned today, you are hoping you're going to go. But you're not sure you're going to go because you know you're living in sin. But yet you don't want to step back from it. You got to make decisions in your life. You see, this next level that God has for your life is phenomenal. But God can't take you there if you're going to play with waste. I didn't tell this in first service, but I will in second. As a child, I lived in a town called Phillipston. My wife always tells me, close the lid. All the men should have said amen. That was your cue. Two doors down from my house, now this is a long time ago, they had an open sewer. It was called a cesspool. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a normal child. But we would put our rubber boots on and go play in the cesspool. Pretty nasty, isn't it? You know it smelled. And you know you saw things that you just should never see as a human. Because it's waste. And you all reacted exactly the way that I expected you to act. You all reacted like how nasty and how disgusting. But I want to challenge you. There are things in every one of our lives. We're playing in cesspools. And God is speaking to our heart. Do you actually call all things dung? What are you hanging on to in your life that is more important than Jesus Christ? What is so important that Christ is taking second place? It's called an idol. And God is bringing his church back, especially in this year. I'm talking all over the nation, all over the world. He's bringing us all back to a true confrontation. You see, we don't like to talk about repentance. We don't like to talk about sin. We don't like to talk that not everybody's going to heaven. But that is truth. Not everybody who starts this race will finish this race. Not everybody who goes and starts this portion of the mountain will finish this portion of the mountain. Not everybody who goes to the first base camp will go to the second base camp. And no one makes that decision but you. You see, the passion of God is to make sure that every one of us are going to reach the pinnacle place, and that is the summit. What is the summit? That I know Jesus Christ. This is the journey that we're on. See, Paul had to make a decision because Paul was a powerful man. The Bible says that Paul, he made a declaration. He said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews.
You see, he was proud that he wasn't just a Hebrew, but he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, which means he was a man that truly grabbed a hold of his ethnicity. He was a man that was proud of his culture. He was a man that was proud of where he came from. But I want you to know something. Paul said, I count all things dung. I've watched people in the body of Christ. Schisms have been caused. Why? Because of ethnicity, not because of bibliography. Excuse me, that's bibliography. Not because of Bible. Yeah, bibliography is different from Bible. You know that, right? If not, join Rock Solid Faith. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Thursday night at 6 p.m. in Ithaca and also on main campus. It is also free online. If you go to histabernacle.com, you can go to watch, go down to archives, and all Rock Solid Faith is available for you for free. Thank you. Thank you. Paul said, I count all things, even my ethnicity, even the pride in my culture, I count it all dung just to know Jesus. Paul said, hey, I was educated by the second greatest teacher of all of the area. I'm a man, a Pharisee. I am growing and knowing. You see, I am educated. I want you to know I had a man say to me one time, he said, I can't keep coming to his tabernacle. I said, why? He said, because there's not enough educated people there. Well, I want you to know when you get to heaven, God's not going to say, oh, you have a master's. When you get to heaven, he's going to say, you have my heart. For God does not look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. Come on now. I'm not saying education is bad, but what I'm saying is if you use education as something that's above God, I want you to realize that it is going to keep you stumbling. There's your dung. Paul said, listen now, I'm educated. I'm educated and I am powerful, but I count even my education dung. Just to know Jesus. You see, he wasn't just educated. He was a man that, man, he climbed the corporate ladder. He said, I'm so passionate in my religion. I'm so passionate as a Pharisee that I'm climbing the corporate spiritual ladder. Man, people know who I am. When Paul or Saul at that point would walk into a town, the believers would start to shudder. Why? Because he was so powerful, because he was a persecutor, because he was zealous for the Jewish religion, that he sat back and he said, I am climbing this spiritual ladder. He said, you know what? I even count my religious background dung. It's waste. I'm sorry, I like that. He said, I even count my success as dung. You see, it doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how powerful you are, quote unquote. You can gain everything in this world and lose everything in the kingdom. He said, watch, I'm giving up the success that men have been chasing after. I'm giving up my religious success. I'm giving up power. I'm giving up money. I'm giving up prestige. I'm giving up the even when I walk into a town, everything knows and everybody knows who I am. I'm giving all of that success up because I want Jesus more. How many successful people are willing to give it all for Jesus? Well, we know the rich young ruler wasn't. He said, God, he said to Jesus, he said, Jesus, I hold the whole law up. I do all the law. I do it all. What else do I got to do? And Jesus looked at him and said, sell all that you have and follow me. And you know what the Bible says? He said it was too hard of a saying. And he kept his success rather than calling it dung. See, some of us are hanging on to waste. Now, listen, now, I'm not saying God don't want you to have nice things, as long as the things don't have you. God wants to prosper you. God wants to bless you. But the problem is so many people, they allow that to start owning them and motivating them rather than the passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody more powerful than a successful businessman or a businesswoman who has an enormous bankroll who knows God. Kentucky Fried Chicken, they do it right. But he didn't just make chicken right. People bash Walmart all the time, but that man was born again, spirit-filled, and he tithed every dime, and he gave millions upon millions and millions of dollars. Chick-fil-A! That was the Rhema word. Chick-fil-A, they don't even open on Sundays. Why? Because they want to make sure. Now listen, I'm not bashing anybody who's open on Sundays. But what I'm saying is this. If that is your dung, it is not worth it. Paul said, I count it all loss. I count it all rubbish. I call it all dung. Just to know Jesus. What in this journey are you giving up? You see, we all start in the same location. Every one of us start in the same place. Every one of us got to go to the very first base camp. Every one of us got to kneel at the cross. I've got great news for you. The cross is even. The cross is level. It doesn't matter whether you're successful on this earth or not. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or whether you're short. It doesn't matter whether you're a murderer or you've never even cussed. We all come to the cross. We all start this journey the exact same way, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by him. Can I hear an amen? You see, religion won't get you to heaven. Being good won't get you to heaven. Even your past denominationalism will not get you to heaven. There's only one name under heaven which well you shall that you can declare that will make you saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the Lord, they shall be saved. Amen. We all start level at the same base camp. What's awesome about this portion is that as we're level, we can't stay here. Now listen, when you're born again, you might have been a smoker, a toker, a drinker. We can go some other things, but we'll behave myself. My wife said I was really bad first service, so I'm trying to behave myself now. You know what's amazing is the religious folks who've forgotten their journey will look at somebody who's newly saved and say, man, they still wear this. Oh, my goodness, they still talk like this. Oh, my goodness, they still drink. They still. Listen now, we're all on the journey. We're growing. My favorite story is that guy. Remember, I've told you before, but he was a rodeo rider and a salt miner up in Ithaca. Came to our church, walked down the altar. He's a cowboy. He used to ride rodeo, too. And he had his hat on and took it off for service. And after service, I gave the altar call. He walked up front, gave his heart to Jesus. He said, Pastor, I want to show you my coat. I said, great. We walked out to the coat rack, and he pulled it off. It's one of those big Australian ones, you know, the big Australian ones. He put his cowboy hat on. He goes, how do you like my effing coat? And I said, that is an awesome coat. That night he came back to church and he got baptized in the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. And you see, his normal lifestyle was going to the bar all week. So he went to the bar and he said, Pastor, I didn't drink anything. He said, you know, I had water, but he said, you know, that's where I usually hang out. So he went into the bars hanging out and somebody started getting in his face and said, let's go fight. And he looked at me and says, let me tell you, he started speaking in tongues of the guy and the guy left. But let me tell you something. He shouldn't have been in the bar in the first place. But watch. He was on his journey. He wasn't there yet. We're all moving forward. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now listen, if you've been born again 10 years, you're still going there, you've got an issue. It means you don't fear God. Let me say that one more time. You see, if you can sin and not respond to God's conviction, it means you don't actually believe he's going to do what he said he'll do, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. But if you're on your adventure with God, you're on your journey with God, and you're making your steps, you realize there are things that are holding you back. You realize there are people that are holding you back. You realize that there is junk in your trunk that is holding you back. You realize there is sin that is holding you back, and you make a conscious choice. I count that dung to move forward. I count that place to be dung so I can move forward. It's not that you don't like people. It's not that you don't love people. You're not abandoning anybody. But the truth is you can't hang out with the turkeys and fly with the eagles. So you got to make a decision that I'm moving forward to my next base camp. I'm moving forward in my relationship with God. I'm moving forward. I'm learning how to pray. Can I hear an amen? I'm learning how to read the Bible. Can I hear an amen? I'm learning how to go to church and worship. Man, all those people raising their hands. What's wrong? They checking their deodorant? You know, what? I don't get that stuff. All of a sudden, you get to church in a week and a half, you're up front raising your hands because God has touched you, set you free. Raising your hands without wrath or malice. That's the word of God. Lifting up most holy hands. Come on, giving him praise and honor. I surrender, Lord Jesus. But you see, what happens is simply this. On your journey in your relationship with the Lord, you've got to make a decision about the junk in your life. Just like you don't want your two-year-old walking out with a handful of waste. We don't want two-year-olds in the house of God walking around with waste. It's not that God don't love you, but it's you don't love him. I'm sorry, did I offend you? I'll back it up with scripture. If you love me, obey me. John chapter 15. We make decisions. We know what waste is. Some of you are absolutely grossed out. As my wife said, what'd you say? You're not classy this morning. I don't know. I think I look pretty classy. But I'm not really trying to be classy this morning. I'm trying to make a spiritual point that will either save your life or you'll doom yourself. The question is this, is how bad do you really want Jesus? How bad do you, really, that's it. If I was going to throw you a lifeline, I want you to know that I'm not going to say, well, you know, you need to give more. Well, you know, you need to do this more. Because you see, you don't go to church out of religious obligation. You go to church because you love God. Because he said, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some are, especially in the last days. I don't give because Pastor Rhonda stands up there and tries to, you know, whatever she's doing. I give because I love God. The rope that I throw you is simple. Do you love God more than you like the world? For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I know. It's not one of those feel goodies. But watch. If you go on a journey and you're climbing a mountain and you're an alpinist, and you're at least not educated on what a crevasse is, you're dead. If we don't come back to what Paul said is true life, we're not going to make it. Many shall say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do mighty miracles in your name? And he said, I never knew you. It's not about what we do. It's about, do we know him? Because if you know him, you'll do. But if you do, you might not know him. This morning, the question is simple. What dung are you hanging on to that will keep you from your next level? Now, you see, no one can answer that. And we all have to answer that. Me too. Because, listen, when you're newly saved, you have easy stuff that everyone sees, you know. But the more you climb in the journey, those things are like not part of your life anymore. You got rid of them, you know, early in the journey because you knew it was holding you down. But the thing is that as you're climbing higher to the summit, God is saying, listen, there are some small things that are holding you back just as bad as the big things. What are they? What is the dung in your life that is holding you back from really knowing him? I have to ask myself the same question. Because just because I preach on a Sunday doesn't mean I'm going to heaven. God don't love me any more than he loves you. This is all about we all on the same plane in this realm. Do I know him? Do I really know God? Or is this just a religious game? You'll never get anything greater than grabbing a hold of Jesus and really knowing him. And the higher you go in your journey towards the summit, when he whispers, you hear him. When he prompts you, you respond to him. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about? You walk in a room and your wife gives you a look. She doesn't need to say a word. You know you're a dead man. Do you know him even more than your own spouse? That's the adventure. That is the journey. What are you willing to surrender to go to your next level in the journey? He'll convict you. He'll show you. It might be what people can see. It might be what nobody sees. It might be just attitudinal. But if you'll respond to him, I'll guarantee you something. God will never extract anything out of your life that he won't give you greater. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights. Surrendering the dung in your life, getting rid of the waste in your life, is only going to bring a greater reward. For your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your heart cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. You see, God has greatness for you. He has great plans for you. He has great blessing for you. He has a strong anointing for you. He has phenomenal purpose for you. We're going to achieve it as we continue on our journey. Whew, I just sense a strong anointing. Holy Spirit, do your thing, Spirit of God. Draw us all closer to Jesus. Please, Holy Spirit, hear us this morning. Draw us closer to Jesus. Lord, I bind the devil who's blinding the mind of the unbeliever right now. I command that spirit to go. Whew, Jesus' name. You have no right, no opportunity. I just extract it. Now I command the light of God to come into the heart of the individual that they may have an understanding, an apocalypsis, a revealing in their own heart that Jesus loves them. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, listen now, I'm not asking you to join a church because you can join a church and not go to heaven. I'm asking you to know God. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you've never asked him to come into your heart, you've never asked him to be your Lord, not just your Savior. You haven't started the journey. You've watched church, you've watched religion, and even at times you've been so turned off. Listen, I want to educate you real quick. You can reject God because of what somebody else did. But isn't it amazing you're surrendering your eternity for somebody else's stupidity? Just because somebody does something stupid doesn't mean you have to react to it. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. You're going to start the journey at Base Camp 1. We're going to help you grow to Base Camp 2. And you're going to start this journey, and the goal is, as Paul declared, I have not completed, but I will finish the race. I will get that heavenly prize.
I will see Jesus face to face. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you want Him in your life this morning, I'm going to ask you to be brave and raise your hand. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. And you say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I'm going to give Him my heart today. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. Five, come on, get your hand up. Four, three, two. I'm going to call it one more time. And the reason I do that is this. I want to remind you that you can't repent anytime you want. You can't turn to God anytime you want. I had somebody say to me once, they were living with their girlfriend. And they said, you know what? God's got to forgive me whenever I call. And I said, that's not true. Because you can't even call unless He's drawing you. And the Bible says God will not always strive with man. When I count down from five, literally that might be your last one. We all know people who've died young. This is not a game. It's not religion, not church. This is kingdom. Jesus loves you, this I know. I'm going to ask one more time. If you need to get your heart right with God, you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand real quick. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. I want to finalize my address to this. Maybe you've been saved for a lot of years, like me. And it's really easy to get into a religious groove, but stop really pursuing Christ. You've allowed the dung, even religious dung, to get in your heart. I'm challenging you, if Jesus Christ is not your main passion, not your main desire, not the intensity to acquire, then we need a realignment of our life. We need to become Christ-centric all over again, because we can gain everything and lose it all. I'm not talking to the people that need salvation. I'm talking to the people that have been born again but have lost sight of the heavenly prize to know Christ. This morning, if that's you, I mean, I ask myself the same question. I constantly ask myself, because how horrible it would be if God uses me through my whole life and all these people get born again and I don't go to heaven. The Bible calls it shipwrecked. I choose to keep the holes out of my boat. Amen. I choose to keep the waste where it belongs. And that is a choice that I have to make and you have to make. So after service, as everybody's dismissed, if you need to realign your spirit, you just need someone to agree with you that you're going to make Christ your center again, I want you to come up to the front of the altar. Find one of these prayer team. And they'll pray with you. No one's going to condemn you. Man, we're all at the same place. We all have to judge ourselves the same way. And we all have to climb the journey. Wherever you are in whatever base camp, it's time to move forward. Let's get rid of the waste in our life. Father, I just speak blessing over this church. God, I know what you're going to do this year. It is phenomenal. Lord, you spoke it. You prophesied it. Lord, you declared it. That, Lord, we're going to see a mighty move of the Spirit that we have never seen before. God, I even had a young man. He heard from you this last month. Lord, and you spoke to him as a young man that, God, you're going to pour out your Spirit this year. Lord, I have no question about it. But, Lord, we don't want to just go a few of us. We want the whole body of Christ to be so intimately, passionately in love with you that nothing else matters. Lord, we'll have stuff, we'll be places, but Lord, you are our true passion. Lord, I pray that we'll all be brought to the same place all over again. This morning I was listening to Keith Green. There was a song that he sings. I mean, this guy's early 80s. I listened to that song, and you know what it did? It brought me back to a garage back when I was 14 or 15 years old. I really wasn't serving God then, and a friend of mine named Dave
inviting me to sleep over his house while we were going to camp. Problem was, we camped in his garage. We're in the garage, and he turns on this song. And all of a sudden, the anointing came. The presence of God flooded that garage. At that moment, Jesus, listen, now I went to church my whole life. I was born like during the weekday, and that Sunday I was in church. I was on the pew, under the pew, beside the pew. I pewed in the pew. But that day in that garage changed my life. And this morning, message had already been written. I played that song in my man cave as I was praying, and it brought me right back. And the Holy Spirit said, "Am I really your great passion? Am I really what you're obsessed with?" It's all of us. I challenge you. Make Jesus your number one. You'll never regret it. And he'll show you. He'll show you the gods you've erected in your life that you worship. Remember, anything before Christ is what you worship. And he'll change you from the inside out. And you'll never regret a moment of it. Father, I just speak blessing. Lord, I thank you for this blessed congregation, your church, God, not my church, your church, not my people, your people. I thank you, Lord, that they love you. Lord, they're here today in your house. Holy Spirit, work on each one of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Let us make you our highest priority. And God, we give you the praise that you want us. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you want us. Thank you, God, with all the mess ups, with all the stupidity, with all the idiocracy, Lord, in our life, with all of our thoughts, with all of our actions, with as many times as we've sinned, even the same sin. God, thank you for being merciful. Thank you for being patient. Thank you, God, for loving us so much. You've never given up on us. God, thank you. Help us. Help us make you our highest priority. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Make sure you invite somebody. Next week, Joyce Myers, pastor, will be here with us. Rick Shelton. Now, I want to say this. Everyone, please listen to me. There is only one service next Sunday, 10 a.m. There's not a 9. There's not an 11. Only one service. Turn to someone and say, 10 a.m. There's only one service next Sunday, 10 a.m. Joyce Myers, pastor, will be with us next week. Rick Shelton.
I'm going to another level. I'm going to another level. Another level. I'm going to another level. Don't stop preaching. Keep believing. We're going to another level. Don't stop pressing for your blessing. We're going to another level.
Come on, somebody, let your praise rise from the inside.